enjoying the world around him. Suddenly, he saw another man. He was also 20 feet below sea level. But surprisingly, he had no swimsuit at all. And not only that, he did not even have the breathing machine. How was this possible for him to be this deep under sea without any support whatsoever? This man was definitely surprised. As a challenge, this man went 10 more feet below. To his great surprise, this other man also followed him. This was too much. Now this man really wanted to see what's happening. And he went 15 more feet below. And amazingly, this other man also followed him. Now, he had to find out what's happening. So he removes a waterproof chalkboard and he writes, "How the hell are you able to do this without a mask?" And you know what the other person replied? He wrote, "I am drowning, you fool." This man was drowning, and this other person who was a scuba diver did not make out. This is precisely what we'll discuss today. We have two kinds of divers. One is a person who is an expert, right? He's so expert, he knows how to do it, and he enjoys the sea when he's inside the sea. And the other person is a very amateur swimmer. He doesn't know how to do it. In fact, he often finds himself drowning and miserably struggling for life. Now, I want all of you to help me with something. What is ocean called in Hindi? Sagar. Any other word? Sorry? Okay. Any other word? We call it Paryayvachi Shabd, right? Any other word? Sindhu, right? Sindhu is another word for ocean. Now, some of you can raise your hands and give me examples of different kinds of ocean in Hindi. Anyone can try? Yes? I want something dash Sagar or dash Sindhu. Sorry? Be loud.
I don't know.
Yes. Yes? Sorry? I don't want names of ocean as it is. Something that is a noun. Okay, let me give an example. Daya Sagar. Can you give me more examples like this? Yes. Bhavasagar. Anything else? Vidya Sagar. Amazing. Wonderful. Karuna Sagar. What else? Kripa Sindhu. Absolutely fantastic. Anything else? We have Gyana Sagar, Gyana Sindhu. Right? Daya Sindhu. Right. So, these are the different kinds of oceans. And today particularly we will be dealing with two kinds of ocean. We will come to it in just some time. Now, as I said, we will be talking about two kinds of divers. The first category are those who are experts. Now, in the region of South India, in the end of Dwapar Yuga and the beginning of Kali Yuga, there appeared a group of exalted devotees, pure-hearted devotees of the Lord, who were called the Alvar. Alvar in Tamil means one who dives deep. Now you get the connection? One who dives deep or one who is immersed. Immersed in what? That also we'll be discussing in some time. The appearance of the Alvars was predicted by Srila Narad Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 5, verses 38 to 40. I will just read out the verse and its translation. Kritadhishu praja rajan khalav ichchanti sambhavam kalav khalu bhavishyanti narayana parayana kvachit kvachin maharaja dravideshu bhurisha dravideshu. The translation of this verse is as follows. My dear king, the inhabitants of Satyayuga and other ages eagerly desire to take birth in this age of Kali. Why? Because in this age there will be many devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These devotees will appear in various places but will be especially numerous in South India. O Master of men, in this age of Kali, those persons who drink the waters of the holy river of Dravida Desha, such as Tamraparni, Kritamala, Payaswini, the extremely pious Kaveri, the Pratichi Mahanadi, will almost be all pure-hearted devotees of the Supreme Lord Vasudev. We see in the history of time, again and again, we see decline in religious principles. Now, the situation in the world around at the time when these Alvars appeared was very difficult, because Lord Sri Krishna had just left this earthly planet for his own abode after the battle of Kurukshetra, and the only descendant of the pious Pandavas was also cursed to die in 7 days by an inexperienced and envious Brahmana. Brahmanas are considered to be the head of the social structure, right? According to the Vedic scriptures, in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna explains how the society is divided into 4 classes, out of which the Brahmanas, they happen to be the head of the society, because all the other classes, they take guidance from the Brahmanas. Now, my friends, if our leg or stomach is not functioning so well, it is definitely of concern, but not so much. But if our brain is not functioning properly, it's definitely a concern, right? So when the Brahmanas became corrupt, all the religious principles started to dwindle. It was at this time that the Lord sent his empowered devotees, the Alvars, and they appeared in different regions of South India. And basically, as the Lord explains, yada yada hi dharmasya glanihi, whenever there is decline in religious principles, the Lord appears to set it right. But sometimes the Lord also sends his empowered devotees to do this task. So at this critical junction in time, these Alvars appeared. Who were these Alvars? Each of them were very special. They were 12 in number. Each of them were incarnations of different paraphernalia of the Lord or incarnations of the Lord's empowered devotees. For example, I shall name each of the 12 Alvars and what were their incarnations of. We have Poigai Alvar. He was the incarnation of the Lord's Kongshel Panchajanya. You see, in this material world, everything is inert matter except the super soul and the spirit soul. But in the spiritual world, every single thing is a person. It is not a thing, it's a person. Right from the stone, right from the structures, right? Everything is a person and everything is conscious. And they are all rendering their specific service to the Lord. So we have Poigai Alvar, who was the Lord's conch shell. Bhutam Alvar was the Lord's club. Pei Alvar was the incarnation of the Lord's sword by the name Nandaka. Tirumalishai Alvar was the incarnation of the Lord's Sudarshan Chakra. Nam Alvar, who was the most prominent of the 12 Alvars, was the incarnation of Vishwaksena, who was one of the Lord's Vishnudutas. Madhurakavi Alvar was again incarnation of a devotee. Kulashekar Alvar was incarnation of the Kaustubamani. Pei Alvar was the incarnation of Sri Garuda, the carrier of the Lord. Andal was the only woman out of the 12 Alvars, and she is considered the incarnation of Mother Earth, Bhudevi. Tondradipodi Alvar was incarnation of Vaijayanti Mala. Tirupan Alvar was incarnation of Sri Vatsa. And Tirumangai Alvar was incarnation of the Lord's transcendental bow called Saranga. Now, these Alvars, it is not that they were all highly educated and they were born in high class families. Some of them appeared in very low caste families. Some of them were very simple gardeners. One of them was a king, and one of them, as I said, was a woman. So they appeared in different classes of society to help spread the mission of the Supreme Lord. Now we'll discuss the first kind of ocean that these great devotees are interested in, and that is the ocean of love of God. These transcendental personalities were so engrossed in thinking of the various pastimes of the Lord, in remembering the various qualities of the Absolute Truth, and in distributing this knowledge. They would travel from place to place, visit holy places, and wherever there was temple of the Lord, they would spontaneously recite great prayers, very devotional prayers. And each of these 12 Alvars are credited with composing set of poems collectively known as Divya Prabandham. If you go to South India, even today, most people are influenced greatly by these holy verses. In most temples in South India, on all great festivals, these verses are chanted in memory of these Alvars. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami describes these devotees as, or compares these devotees to be like sharks. What is the characteristic of a shark? Can anyone tell me? Yes? Shark is typically found only in deep waters of the ocean. You will never find a shark in smaller bodies of water, right? Have you ever heard of a shark being in small rivers? No, shark is always found in ocean, deep within the ocean. Similarly, the great devotees of the Lord are only interested in being deep in the ocean of love of God. They are not interested in lower forms of pleasure. Not only that, in whatever situation they find themselves in this material world, they are not disturbed by it. I shall speak relevant pastimes from the lives of these Alvars as I am explaining different concepts. Now, in this connection, I'll tell you about Tirupan Alvar. Tirupan Alvar was born in a very low caste family. He was so engrossed in his devotion to Lord Vishnu, especially Sri Ranganath of Sri Rangam, that whenever, even at the sight of the Lord, he would be immersed and forget where he was. One fine day, the head priest of the Sri Rangam temple, Loka Sarangamuni, he was walking from the main temple to the river Kaveri in order to fetch water for the Lord's Abhishek or bathing ceremony. Now, as he was taking water from the river to the temple, in the middle of the road was standing Tirupan Alvar, completely engrossed in his love for the Lord and not knowing that he was actually blocking the way of this priest to the temple. And in those days, this system of casteism was very strong, and the priest was very annoyed that this person is blocking his way and delaying the service of the Lord. And then he shouted at him. He said, "Get out of my way, you fool." Tirupan Alvar was so engrossed that he didn't even hear. Now it was too much for Loka Sarangamuni. He took a stone and hit him on the head. Suddenly, because the stone hit him, Tirupanalvar came to his external world and moved away and begged his pardon from Loka Sarangamuni. Now, this priest goes to the temple, and what does he find? There are two versions to this. Some devotees, they say that the temple innermost sanctum where the deity was resting was locked from the inside. Although there was nobody inside, still the door was locked. Other version of the story says that Lord Ranganath's face was bleeding. Right, so we see that although circumstantially Tirupanalvar was from a low caste, but he was so engrossed in the Lord's devotion that even the Lord recognized him. There is another very wonderful story of three other great Alvars: Poigai Alvar, Bhutam Alvar, and Pei Alvar. These three devotees appeared in different regions of South India and they did not know each other. One fine day, one of them, Poigai Alvar, as he was traveling, he got very late in the night, and suddenly there was a huge storm that came about. He was traveling in the forest, there was absolutely no shelter whatsoever, he was completely getting drenched, so what could he do? Also, he had to rest for the night, it was already beyond midnight. And suddenly he sees a small tin shack with just enough place for him to lie down. So he thanks the Lord, and being grateful that he found some place to take shelter, he goes inside and lies down, completely immersed in the thoughts of the Lord. Now, as he was just about to sleep, he hears a knock on the door. And someone says, "Please let me in, please let me in. I'm so much drenched and tired." This person inside, he tells, "There is just enough place for one person to lie down. There is no place for anyone else." Now the guest, he's very smart. He says, "If there is place for one person to lie down, there's definitely place for two persons to sit." Right? So the devotee inside, he understands, this is no ordinary person. I should let him in. So then he comes inside. And both of them are sitting together. And what are they doing? They're discussing about the Lord. After some time, another knock on the door. This time, also the person is shouting, "Please let me in! Please let me in!" And the people inside are saying, "There is just enough place for two persons to sit down. There is no place for anyone else." And the person outside who is standing is telling, "If there is place for two people to sit down, there is definitely place for the three of us to stand." Now the other two people who are inside, they also understand. This third person is no ordinary person. We have to let him in. And the third person also comes in. And they are all standing, blissfully talking about the devotees, about the glories of the Lord. Suddenly something mysterious happens. And they feel that there is somebody else inside this room. Who is this mysterious fourth? We will have our drama team answer our question after the class. Now, as I said, these devotees are very not at all interested in lower forms of pleasure. Now, there was this another Alvar by the name Tirumal Shai Alvar. He was so engrossed in bhakti that even Lord Shiva, when he came to offer benedictions, this devotee was not at all deterred. So much that he gained the name Bhakti Sar. This name Bhakti Sar was given to him by Lord Shiva himself, he who is full of devotion to Lord Vishnu. At one point of time, there was a traveler who was traveling by the airways. In those days also there were sophisticated airplanes, which we don't see nowadays. And those airplanes never caused pollution. Now, this person who was a magician, His name was Shakti Haran. When he was moving in the airways, he saw that this great devotee is on the earth and he was busy stitching his cloth. This person decided that I should go down and pay my respects to him. So he comes down and he meets this Thirumal Shai Alwar, and out of genuine respect, he was a magician, right? So he produces a very, very expensive cloth, bedecked with a lot of jewels and gems, precious stones. He thought, this poor man is just having one tattered cloth. I will gift him something nice. So he produces this expensive cloth and hands it over to Thirumal Shai Alwar. Something very wonderful happened. As soon as he held the expensive cloth, it turned into rags. It turned into an old blanket. And he was started happily using it. Now, as a return gift, like everyone is cultured, when you receive something, you want to give something back, right? So this Thirumal Shai Alwar, he removes his Rudraksha Mala and he hands it over to this magician. And as soon as he touches this mala, it turns into a very expensive garland of precious stones. So this magician came to understand, this is no ordinary person. These great devotees of the Lord, they are such surrendered devotees that the Lord fulfills all their desires. And they do not need any small favor from worldly people like us. So these are some of the examples of how these great devotees are, they know nothing but devotion to the Supreme Lord. How does life of these great devotees affect our lives? Here we are in this miserable world, struggling to make a living, struggling to find happiness. We may think, okay, there may have been such great personalities in the bygone ages who may have been, you know, very surrendered devotees of the Lord, but how does it matter to us? How does it affect our lives in today's world? Right? Now, this brings us to trying to understand the next kind of ocean, and that is Shok Ashru Sagar. An ocean that is filled with tears of all of us, people like us who are struggling in this material world. Now, let me give an example of a story that typically describes what this world is all about. There was once a king. This king had many, many prisoners. And these prisoners had been in captive for a long time. One fine day, it was the birthday of this king. And this king wanted to really be good on these prisoners. So he went to meet them and told them that I will release all of you if you give me a gift. What was the gift that the king asked for? Very interesting. The king asked, please give me a gift. Please give me something that will make me happy when I'm sad and make me sad when I'm happy. Can any of you think of such a gift that can make us sad when we are happy and happy when we are sad? Very interesting gift, right? So all the prisoners were thinking, this is our only chance to escape. What is this? What is this that can fulfill the king's criteria? So after many hours of thinking, one old man, he comes up with a brilliant, brilliant suggestion. He comes up with a ring, very simple looking ring, and he hands it over to the king. The king says, what is this? You're giving me a ring. How is this going to fulfill the criteria? Now the old man tells the king, oh king, please read what is mentioned on this ring. It was mentioned, there was a saying on the ring which goes like this: this will also soon pass away. Do you all understand? So the king was very struck with wonder. This will also soon pass away. When I am happy, it will soon pass away. Khatam ho jayega. And when I am sad, this will also pass away. Doesn't this describe this world very nicely? This world is full of dualities. We can never be happy forever. This world is also full of ungrateful people. Now, we may want to do something genuinely. We may have the right intentions, but often we are misunderstood. There was once this blind girl. She lost both her eyes, and was completely dejected and depressed in life. All she would do was just keep on complaining that why such a thing had to happen to her. But there was one person who was always a friend to her. And this was the only person whom this girl loved. This man would always be with her for all that she needed and would take care of her very nicely. One fine day, a very large-hearted person donates his pair of eyes to this girl. Previously, the girl had told this friend of hers that if at all someday I get my eyes back, I shall marry you. Now, after this girl got back her eyes, by the grace of one well-wisher, she was so happy to see the world full of colors, world full of joys. And then she wanted to meet this friend of hers who had always been for her. So when this friend comes to meet her, she is completely disappointed to find out that this friend is blind. Both his eyes are not functioning. Now this girl is completely taken aback. The promise that she made that she would marry him, she really doesn't want to keep it. How would it be to be with a man who cannot see? So she rejects him. One fine day, she gets a letter. This letter was from this friend of hers who said, "Oh my friend, please take good care of your eyes. For before they were yours, they were mine." You see, we have people, we want to do good to others, but we are misunderstood and we are so much ungrateful to what people have to give us. There's another very nice, funny story I came across, which tells us how this world is full of misguided lovers. Very funny, but it very aptly describes what this world is all about. There was once a man who goes to a mental hospital and he visits the doctor. This man is not mad, but he wants to see how mad people are. So he goes to this mental hospital and he is taking around with the doctor, right? Suddenly he comes to one particular place where a man is trying to hang himself from a fan and he is shouting, "Laila, Laila!" And this man was very curious what's happening. So he asked the doctor, "What is this man doing?" So the doctor says, "This man was deeply in love with a girl called Laila. But then this girl ditched him. So since then he's been trying to commit suicide by hanging from the fan." So this man is like, okay. Then he goes little ahead. And he finds another person. He is also trying to hang himself from the fan. And he is also crying, "Laila, Laila." This man is amused. He asks the doctor, "What happened to this guy?" The doctor is saying, "This was the man whom that Laila ran away with." So this world is full of misguided lovers, right? Very funny. We see how all great personalities in this world, like great leaders like President Nixon, Mahatma Gandhi, they all wanted to be well-wishers. But then they turned out to be enemies. Otherwise, why would they be assassinated? Right? So this is the kind of world we are living in. How do these great personalities called the Alvars, or for that matter, all pure devotees of the Lord, how do they affect our lives while we are struggling in this world? That is what we will be discussing now. Now, these great devotees, they come with a mission. Is it that they are very self-centered? Main aur mere Bhagwan aur koi nahi beech mein. It's not like that. These great devotees, they share the principle of compassion. This quality of compassion, the Lord is so eagerly waiting to rescue all of us who are like His children. The Lord is so eager that we come back to Him. And He time and again sends, either He Himself comes or He sends His devotees, He sends His instructions in the form of scriptures to again and again remind us that we don't belong to this place. Now these devotees come with that mission. On behalf of the Lord, they are trying their best to somehow or other find us. Now we are like that person who was drowning. Like in the beginning, I told that example of how one person was drowning. And we are all like that. We willingly took the dive inside the ocean, thinking that we are experts. But then soon we found out we are not. Forget about being experts, we don't even know how to swim. And these devotees who are experts, they are like the rescue rangers. They come to this ocean. Because they are immersed in the ocean of love of God, they get that strength, they get that empowerment from the Lord to take the plunge into this ocean of material existence to do what? To find people like us who are drowned. Very interestingly, one of the agenda of scuba divers today is to find oysters. Why are they interested in oysters? Because they are interested in pearls. We all like pearls, right? We have jewelry made of pearls. And these pearls are very rare. They are found in very deep waters. And one of the commercial purposes of scuba diving is to reach out to these oysters and harvest pearls. Now these great devotees also have such an agenda. We have of all these in living entities who are miserably fighting it out to survive in this world, each of us are unique in our relationship with the Lord. Now, these devotees come to remind us what is our true identity. You all know the story of the prodigal son. We have heard it many times before. I'll just repeat it now. There was once this boy, a son of a millionaire. This son was, as a son of a millionaire, of course, inherited all his father's property. But then, he suffered from forgetfulness, amnesia. And he forgot his true identity. And he got lost in this world. And he was struggling in this world to find out who he really is. Who are his parents? So much that he is completely in poverty. Now, some people, seeing this miserable child who was crying, come to help him. One person says, "Oh, my dear child, do not worry. I'll take you to my house. You will be happy with me. I shall provide all that you need." Will the child really be happy? Perhaps for a few days, but then again, he will start hankering to find out who his real parents are. Now, another person comes. And this person, he says, "Oh, my dear child, I know who you are. I know your father. You are a son of a millionaire. Why are you rotting here? Come, let me take you to your father. And there you will be happy." Now, this is a real well-wisher, is it not? Now, connecting the child to his real father, all his problems are solved. Similarly, these great devotees are also traveling in this world with the same mission, connecting us to our real father, the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Now, very interestingly, we shall see how these devotees do this task. One is by their instructions. We'll see an example from the life of Sri Ramanujacharya. He is not one of the Alvars, but he comes in the disciplic succession. Ramanujacharya, once he was going in procession, he was going to the temple to have darshan of the Lord. And on his way, he thought of having a bath in the Kaveri. Now, as he was coming out of his bath in the Kaveri river, he sees a man who was completely immersed, not in love of God, but in love for a woman. Interestingly, this was in the middle of a procession of the deities. In South India, even today, the Utsav Murti or the small deities in the temple are taken out on procession on major festival days. And the devotees follow behind the deities chanting mantras. And in the middle of such a procession, this person is holding an umbrella on top of whom? Not on top of the Lord, but on top of this lady by the name Hemangi. He was so engrossed in looking at her beautiful eyes that he did not even notice that the deities, the Lord is on a procession just next to him. He did not even care for all the people who are looking at him. He was absolutely shameless, so to say. So Ramanujacharya felt great compassion. He saw this man in completely engrossed in this lady. So he sends one of his servants to fetch this person. He tells, please tell him to come and meet me. So then this person goes to meet Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya asks, my dear friend, are you married to this lady? So the man says, no, my lord, but I know no other woman except her. Ramanujacharya asks, what is it that makes you feel so attracted to her? So this man replies, I feel that there is nothing more beautiful than this lady's eyes. There's nothing else more beautiful in this world. So Ramanujacharya says, if I take you to someone whose eyes are more beautiful than this lady's eyes, will you give her up? He said, definitely, my lord, but I bet you cannot do this. I bet there is nothing more beautiful than this lady's eyes. So then Ramanujacharya takes this man. He takes this man to the shrine of Lord Ranganath. And as soon as this man has the darshan of Lord Ranganath's beautiful eyes, his true devotion to the Lord comes out. And he starts offering prayers. And he falls at the feet of Ramanujacharya and thanks him. Thanks him for helping him out of this misguided love. But incidentally, this lady whom he was in love with also becomes a devotee. And this person, who later came to be known as Dhanurdas, he and his wife was exemplary devotees. And even the renounced order looked upon them as an example. So this was just one example how great devotees help us get connected to the Lord. Not just connect us to the Lord, but also dovetail our propensities. It is not that Ramanujacharya told Dhanurdas to renounce or become a sannyasi. They got married and they served the Lord together. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. This was one example of how they teach by instructions. Second way in how the great devotees help us is by teaching by their own example. That is why great devotees are known by Acharya. What is Acharya? Acharya comes from the root word achar, means good behavior. They practice what they preach, right? It is important for us to not just hear instructions, but also see practical examples of people who are like you and me and who are able to practice what is mentioned in the scriptures. As an example, I'll narrate a beautiful pastime from the life of Tirumal Shai Alvar. Now, this great devotee had a disciple by the name Kanikannan. Kanikannan was a very devout brahmachari. His daily activity would be to go around the kingdom and beg alms for his guru. One fine day, at the ashram of Tirumalshai Alvar, there was an old woman. This old woman would come every single day to offer her services. She would put rangoli at the entrance, she would do cleaning, she would wash the devotees' vessels. So this devotee, Tirumalshai Alvar, was very pleased with her and wanted to give her some boon. Now this lady, when she was asked what she wanted, she said, "My dear Lord, make me into a young, beautiful woman so that I can serve the deities with much more strength." So Tirumalshai Alvar said, "So be it." So this old, weary looking woman becomes young and youthful, very beautiful. Now, as the case may be, the king of the region, Pallava, he was going on his chariot. And when he sees this beautiful lady, he feels attracted and eventually he gets married to her. Now this lady, and then they both live together happily serving the Lord. But this king was observing something very unusual. This king was growing old and old as the years went by, but this lady always remained youthful. Now this is a big problem, right, for husbands. Now they keep getting old and the wife is looking always young. It's definitely a problem. So this king asks her, what is the secret of your youth? So this lady says, "It is by the grace of Tirumalshai Alvar that I was given this youth. And you can also get the same benediction if you please his disciple, Kanikannan." Now this Kanikannan would come to the king's darbar court every single day to beg alms. So the wife told him that when he comes, please request him for an audience with his guru and beg from him the same benediction I asked for. So the king says, okay. But unfortunately, the king was not as devoted as this young lady. When Kanikannan came at the door, the king tells him, "Oh, my dear Kanikannan, I would like to meet your guru. Please go and bring him to my court." Now, Kanikannan, being a very devoted disciple, he told this king, "My dear king, my guru is not a cheap person. He does not visit any materialistic person's house, even if it be the king himself. This is not the way that you can get his audience." So the king was enraged. The king said, "How can you speak like this to me?" So he tells, "Forget it. Now you sing something in my praise, sing something in glorification of me." So Kanikannan, being a true devotee of the Lord, he starts praising the Supreme Lord Krishna instead of praising the king. Now this doubly enraged the king. And what did the king do? In great anger, he banished Kanikannan from the kingdom. And he said, "From today onwards, you are not allowed inside my kingdom. Get out." So Kanikannan, he respectfully obeys the king. He goes out and he reports to his master, his guru, Tirumalshai Alvar. He tells him, "My dear Lord, I have been banished from this kingdom, so I have to leave." And he starts leaving. Now, this is amazing lesson that Tirumalshai Alvar is teaching all of us. He is the guru of Kanikannan. But this is how every devotee deals with another devotee, whether he be a disciple or a senior, anyone. How valuable is a person who is serving the Lord? This Tirumalshai Alvar, when he heard that his disciple has been banished, he's thinking to himself, "What will I do in this kingdom without my disciple? I will also go away with him." Now, as he's going away, he's thinking. He actually goes to visit the Lord before leaving the kingdom. The Lord, as you all know, Sri Ranganath, is lying on his bed. Who is his bed? Lord Anantasesh. Very sweet conversation this devotee has. He says, "My dear Lord, your great devotee," see, this is how he is saying, "your great devotee, Kanikannan, has been banished. Now, without him, I cannot be here. So I am also going with him. Now, how will we both be without you? So you also please come with us." Right? So actually, this Lord Ranganath winds up his bed Just like when we go on yatras, we take our sleeping bed, like we wherever we are, we unwind it, and when we pack up, we pack it up. Similarly, the Lord also wound up his serpent bed, and he's traveling with Tirumal Shai Alvar. Now, the disciple is gone, the guru is gone. Because they both are gone, the Lord is also gone. All of them are out of the kingdom. Now, because the Lord is gone, all the demigods, the sun god, the moon god, the water, Lord Varuna, everyone also wants to leave. Because everyone is eager to be with the Lord. What happens? There is a big chaos in the kingdom. There is famine, there is no production of food. Everything is going topsy-turvy. The king is wondering, what has gone wrong? Suddenly nothing is there. All my subjects are leaving. There's nobody around. So then the ministers tell him, my dear king, it is because of your offense to Kanikannan that his guru, Tirumal Shai Alvar, wants to leave. And because he left, the Lord also left. And because the Lord left, all the demigods have left. And therefore you are left with nothing. If you want to regain your kingdom in full glory, go and beg your pardon from these great devotees and request them to come back. So then this king runs frantically and falls at the feet of these two great devotees and requests them, oh Lord, please forgive me. Please come back to the kingdom along with the Lord. So then Tirumal Shai turns to the Lord. My dear Lord, Kanikannan is back, therefore I am also back. Now when we both are back, you also come with us. So the Lord comes back. This great deity came to be known as Yathoktakari Vishnu. What does that mean? He who obeyed the instructions of his devotee. So this is how, by example, these devotees are teaching us what is the way of advancement in spiritual life. By respecting and serving great devotees, respecting and serving other devotees who are devoted to the Lord. King Kulashekar, the seventh amongst the Alvars, also epitomizes this principle of serving the devotees of the Lord. He was such a devout king that, you know, whenever there is someone who has too much of good qualities, there is always people who are envious. He also had such people in his court. Some of his ministers were very envious of the devotees. Why? Because this king, King Kulashekar, would always favor them. So one fine day, the ministers think that now we've had enough of it. We will defame these devotees. So what they do? They steal one of the very costly ornaments of the deity and hide it. And put all the blame on the devotees. And they say to the king, O king, look at what your devotees have done. He for whom you give your life, this devotee has stolen the most priceless jewel of the deity of Ranganath. But King Kulashekar, such a devout king, he had so much faith in the devotees. He said, it can never be so. For these devotees who are servants of the Lord will never do such a crime. O ministers, bring me a pot within which there is a deadly cobra. I shall put my hand inside this pot. And if the devotees are not guilty, my hand will come out safe. The cobra will do nothing to me. Now when the ministers heard this, they were put to shame. And they confess their wrongdoing, that it is we who did this. Please forgive us. Again we see, like from the life of these great devotees, how each of them regarded as the association of devotees to be priceless benediction of the Lord. Lastly, we will see how these great devotees help us with an appropriate lifestyle, which is most important. All of us, we are here in this material world. We have to know how to lead our lives in such a way that we are able to do our routine work, at the same time devote as much time as we can to the service of the Lord. How can the two happen together? So this comes to the discussion of the ABCD of spiritual life. A stands for association of devotees. As we have seen many examples so far, how from the association of devotees, we gain the strength and the knowledge of how to execute principles of devotional service. while living in this material world. We all need association, right? Even for studies, we go to a college. College is where we have other like-minded students who are taking the same course. Now, this is very important. If we are left with our books in a lonely place with no guidance whatsoever, very sure we will flunk in our exam. So, in the Association of Devotees, we understand these very sublime principles of devotional service. That is A. B stands for books or revealed scriptures. As again, the example of students, we have to have regular study of scriptures, books that teach us basically what the scriptures, they are instructions of the Supreme Lord, instructions of his empowered devotees, acharyas, and they from time to time explain to us what exactly we should do, how exactly we should do, and what to do to be good devotees ourselves and set an example for others. That is study of scriptures. C is for chanting the holy names. We discussed some types of oceans. Another kind of ocean or another way in which this material world is described is dosha nidhi, ocean of faults. This world is full of faults. How is this world described? We get what we don't want and we don't get what we want, right? So in this world of dualities, the easiest way of achieving God consciousness is by chanting the holy names. All these great devotees, as we have spoken in the beginning, they have composed very nice prayers which devotees chant from time to time. But the best of all prayers is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti eka mahan guna kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sanga param rajet. Simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Simply by chanting these holy names, one can achieve the greatest benediction. This is the easiest and most simple way of trying to connect ourselves with the Supreme Lord. That was C. And D stands for diet. We all need food, right? And there are two varieties of food to keep us happy. Krishna is so kind that he allows us, he grants us the permission to offer to him different kinds of foodstuffs for his pleasure, which he accepts if we offer it with love, and he gives it to us as prasadam. This sanctified food is so purifying that it can help us get relieved of all our bad habits and make our minds more clear to understand the difficult principles of devotional life. With this, I would like to end. I would request all the guests to wait for this wonderful drama entitled The Mysterious Fourth. After this, we shall be having important announcements. If there is time, we will have question answers. Are the drama team ready?
For the pleasure of the all assembled girls, we present you the skit, The Mysterious Fourth. Shyamdas, a dedicated devotee of Lord Krishna, was on his way to Vrindavan, chanting the glories of Lord.
Yashomati Nandana Brajavaranara Gokula Ranjana Gana. My Lord Krishna is the beloved son of Yashoda, the transcendental Raj, and the beloved of Gokul.
Yashomati Nandana.
When Shyamdas was thus traveling, chanting the holy names of God, suddenly wind started blowing strongly. There was a gushing downpour. It was a storm.
So much storm. I'll have to find shelter somewhere. Where will I find shelter here? I think there is a hut over there. Let me try.
Somehow, with great difficulty, Shyamdas reached the small hut.
Hut is fully deserted. There's no one here, and so small. But at least I can lie down here and rest for some time at least.
Raja Jana Palana Sura Kula Nashana Nanda Godana Rakhwala.
Oh God, I'm still getting wet. Better clothes.
Who are you? What are you doing here in the storm?
I am Krishnadas. I knocked on the door to seek shelter, but this hut is so small and is only sufficient for one person to lie down.
Brother, I know this hut is small, but if I can lie down here, we both can definitely sit. So come, let us sit and do Krishna Katha together.
Ik din man Indra ko mario nakh upar Govardhan dhario naam padyo Giridhari Radhe Sham Sham Sham. My Lord Krishna one day smashed the pride of Indra and lifted the Govardhan hill to protect all the Brajvasis, and so he's called Girdhari.
Amazing. Lord Krishna is truly the protector of his devotees. Now listen to this.
Karuna karo Draupadi ne kaho palme palme Vrindavan no dharo.
Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam.
Who are you? And what are you doing in this terrible storm?
Gopal Das, I knocked the door for some shelter, but I think this place is very small.
Yeah, it's true that this hut is very small. It is just sufficient for two people to sit. But if it is sufficient for two people to sit, then of course it is sufficient for three of us to stand. So please, Come in and let us discuss Krishna Kathas.
So where was I? Yes, Karuna. Krishna is so merciful. He provided Draupadi with unlimited quantity of sari when she just called out the name of Govinda.
Drupad Suta ki laaj bachayo, grah se gaj ko phand chudayo, aise kripa dham ki barambar pranam hai. My lord Govinda, he protected Draupadi and similarly he protected Gajendra out of the clutches of the crocodile. As soon as he called out for Krishna, he quickly came. I literally bow down to that merciful Lord.
Amazing.
In this way, the entire stormy night was passed by these three devotees glorifying the Lord's qualities. Suddenly,
my dear brothers, I don't know why I'm feeling as if there is the presence of someone else also in this.
I guess it's not a ghost. Being pleased with you all, I've come here. Oh, honest one. Oh, honest one. This is your present life. Your present life is the last and the supermost.